The three of us telling stories today share a birthday today. That's why we're telling stories. So this is just a very short one about the mind and how the mind... Basically, I've come to learn one thing in life, and that is that the mind is only good for one thing, and that is for leading you astray. It can never be relied on in any way, shape or form. And very often there were times when, as Bhadra was saying, you know, you want to get a message from Guru, but the main obstacle is the mind. It's there. You're sitting at the shrine, perhaps, or even Guru's right in front of you, and you're yearning to get what the message is, but of course there's this mind that's got all the chatter and its whole presence of self and ego and its own expectation and its own ideas. And this happens very often if you're in the situation where Guru's actually blessing you. And I remember Guru telling us one time that very often the person he's blessing got very little, but the people around got a lot because they don't have that mental problem. They're not thinking, oh, wow, Guru's blessing me. Who's watching and what, you know, how can I make myself more receptive and all this stuff going on in the mind, which generally just makes you less receptive, whereas the people around are just happily absorbing the light. And I had a very direct experience of this one time. I was a great, having heard Guru say this, I was a great one for, you know, getting myself in the firing line when someone else was being blessed, because it seemed to me like a good way to get some light from Guru. So there's one time, Pranika told a story the other day about Bukittinggi. Bukittinggi is this little town in the highlands in the middle of the Indonesian island of Sumatra. And we went there on for about a week or 10 days on a Christmas trip from a little place called Padang, which has got to be the worst place we ever visited on a Christmas trip. Guru hated it. We all hated it. We were in a place called Mrs. Mariani's Hotel, and it was so stifling hot in there, and the only air conditioning was a big fan. The problem was that the big fan blew the air into the room directly over an open sewer. So you had the choice. You either had the air conditioning on and you were cool, but you were enjoying the aroma from the open sewer, or you had the air conditioning off, in which case you were dying from the heat. Anyway, the good thing about it was that because Guru hated the place so much, he spent the whole day in the function room. So Guru was constantly available, and there was a lot of wonderful things that happened there. But I'm getting distracted. Bukittinggi was the place we went to as a side trip from Padang. It was up in the mountains. It was surrounded by... There was a smoking volcano in the distance. And on this one occasion, we'd had a function, and Guru was leaving the function hall and crossing this front sort of courtyard that was in front of the function hall, kind of like a schoolyard. And he drove, Savisachi drove the car right up to the building, Guru hopped in, and they would drive out. And disciples would normally come and, you know, line up out there and take Guru's blessings as he drove past. So after this particular function, several of us went out there, and I'm standing there, and I happened to be in front of a group of people, and the car comes past, and Guru stops right there. Savisachi stops the car, and Guru's winds the window down, and he's meditating really intensely on a person who was like just behind me, right there. And I'm like right in the firing line. Like, this is my moment. So I was fully receptive, and Guru really went for it. He was in a very, very blissful state. You know, the everything about this experience was utterly memorable. I still see a Guru's face right in front of me in this particular occasion. And it seemed to go on forever, and, you know, there was no mind. I wasn't, because it wasn't for me, you know, I wasn't thinking anything. I was just floating there. It was absolutely blissful. Then finally, the window goes back up again. Guru bows very soulfully and drives off. And it wasn't until I turned around that I realized how Guru tricked me, because there wasn't a soul behind me.